Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight I am extremely excited because I got some great people on the panel with me tonight. And tonight we're going to be talking about, could language hinder the marketing stretch of a song? But before we get into the topic, you know how we do it right here. Let's cover the show like we always do right here on Hip Hop National. Lord, thank you once again to allow us to come together collectively as a community to express our thoughts about this industry of music and the industry of entertainment. Lord, we ask that you bless those who quest to be in this industry of entertainment to allow it to be a job for them, the job that they so desire to seek. But Lord, let them not forget that it's you who have put things together so that they can operate in this area of in the industry so they can minister to others. We ask that you bless every ear and every mind that is tuned in and locked to Hip Hop National as we go forward. Amen. Guys, I cannot tell you guys that this is the way you need to do this before you approach, before you do anything. But I'm a Christian. I'm doing hip-hop. But I do believe it's important to put God first. Hopefully you do too. If not, please just be respectful during that time and just keep it in silence and, you know, do as you would do. But I want to thank you guys for coming to Hip Hop National and tuning in and locking in to the various topics that we do to impact this industry of music. Tonight, we're talking about, could language hinder the marketing stretch of a song? And to lay it out, there's been various songs that has made it across the board. And we've heard foreign songs that pretty much got out there and they've made hits on it, like Patti LaBelle. I cannot pronounce it. Maybe you guys can help me, but y'all remember the song, the French song that Patti LaBelle sung? I need help here. You guys remember the song? What's the name of it?
Lady Marmalade.
All right. And then you had Wayne Newton made Danke Schön. You had, I'm just talking about songs that has actually hit the airwaves. And sometimes we don't understand these songs, but these songs make it. And sometimes they don't. And the question is, when a song is so good, should it be interpreted, you know, translated? That's what we're going to get into tonight. So, and I had some in front of me a few minutes ago. Something's taking place with my computer, so I can't find it. But we'll get back to it in a minute. Anyway, let's go open around the board. We're going to start with Sharon. Sharon is one of our guests tonight, and Sharon, please introduce yourself. Please tell us what it is that you do in this industry, and really what's your contribution to tonight's topic.
Okay, good evening, listening audience. Poetic, thank you for having me on your show. My name is Sharon Bass. I'm CEO / President of QSHA Entertainment, LLC. It's a promotions company and also artist and tour manager. Prior to managing my two hip-hop artists, Calico Jones and Marlys Prince, my previous industry experience was Christian concert promoter. and I had the privilege of doing production with some A-list artists in the gospel community, to include Pastor Donna McClurkin, Martha Menezes, Vicki Winans, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and many others. On tonight's topic, I would say yes, not everyone is interested in what your bedroom fantasy is played out in your music, and that's dependent on the type of music. Also, I would like to state that if you're trying to market to all ages, the type of music and the content of your music can't hinder that. Thank you.
Hello, you still with us, Sharon?
Yeah. Did
okay.
Everybody hear me?
That's very true.
We agree. So we were trying to figure out where you went with that. Okay.
Yeah, I'll go back to the subject.
Okay. Stay with us. And then we got Tiffany Hightower. Tiffany, welcome to the show, and tell everybody what you do.
All right. My name is Tiffany Jade Hightower, and I am the writer, director, and producer of Hi-Fi Films. Currently, I am working on my feature film project, Complacent, which is ranked number 3 on Forrest Whitaker's website, juntoboxfilms.com. As far as you asking whether or not if it is a good idea to go ahead and translate or anything like that, I mean, as far as crossing the boundaries and the borders and everything like that, yeah, I think the language is very important because it doesn't matter. Like if you have some type of dialogue where you are using profanity in any language, we're going to know. Because the thing about it is that no matter what's going on, we should be open to, like, say, for instance, me, myself, once I do release Complacent, I will definitely have it translated into many different languages because I want it to be heard all over the world. But regardless of that, I do think that not only is that important, but I think it's also important to watch what you say when you first come out. So no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter your nationality, race, creed, gender, sexual orientation, whatever it is, we want to hear the positive about you first before we want to even dive into any type of profanity or any type of negativity. So, yeah, that's what I'd say. I don't know if that makes sense. Is that, did I?
Yeah, it does.
I mean,
right on.
No, I mean, like.
Yeah, I'm here. I
didn't ask you what you're here. I want you to introduce yourself and then tell us. What's
Present.
Your take on the topic?
Oh, okay. I'm Raw Dog.
This was a roll call, buddy.
Okay. I'm Raw Dog, and I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest. I'm an astronaut. I've traveled to the moon. I've come back. I'm going to Mars next. No.
Well, please come back to Earth now.
Anyway, no. Now. Now. I just wanted everybody to lighten up and have a good time. No. What I think, really, you know, the artist, the artistry, the music, and what have you, there's really no room for profanity. There's really no room for a lot of the lewd suggestions. I mean, you know,
right.
I think everybody in an artist wants to feel good about that artist, that artist is a good human being. Before we find out that they're just, you know, dirt, dust, and, you know, the scavenger on the corner. I mean, everybody looks for good in the people that they are supporting. And I think that's what the artist needs to understand. Everybody can be bad. Everybody can be ugly. Everybody can curse. So that's nothing new. We want the good talent to come out, you know, because that shows that you're thinking. That shows that you're doing the word play, you know, innuendos are okay, so that we can draw a picture in our mind, but to just come out and blatantly paint pictures that are too descriptive, that you know that the world doesn't want their children to hear, that the world doesn't want to sit in the room with their grandparents and listen to, because they'll feel uncomfortable. Music is not to make you feel uncomfortable. Music is to soothe the body, to heal the mind, to move the spirit. You know, so when you start thinking about it in terms like that, that's all I got to say in the beginning. Did I say enough poetic?
Oh, yes. You said a mouthful, brother.
See, that's
you know
what happens
what I
when
think?
You go to the moon and come back.
Raw dog, yes. I got to tell you one thing. Thank you for really pretty much bringing it back to what the initial topic was.
Well, that's why I said I was an astronaut. You guys gave me time to go to the moon and back.
Because I think this is such a broad topic to discuss when it comes to language of all types and also language as far as being positive, being negative, using profanity or not. I think it really is a bigger topic than we might be able to even cover in this one show. But, yes, carry on.
Well, can I ask you this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about the shock value? Let's just say you got a song, it's hot, it's really, really nice as in the sound of the music, such as, don't get me wrong, what Patti LaBelle was singing, and she continued to sing it. But it was a great song as far as the lyrics, I would say as far as the movement of the song and everything, but it had a little shock value in it. Even to Patti LaBelle, it was a shock value to her once she found out what it meant. The question is, when a entertainer, I would say a musician writes something and they're writing it for their community, and then it actually catches legs and it go across the country, the shock value of the song, will it hinder it being accepted in foreign areas? Because it didn't hinder this particular song once we found out what it was. We were already dancing to it. Lady
Can
Marmalade.
Can I start this one off?
Yes, sir.
Let me say this to you. Patti LaBelle's voice is like a well-tuned instrument. You may not have understood what she said, but it was so melodic and it was so rhythmic and pulsating that you just took it from there. And, you know, we always talk about the words that hip-hop artists use. T-Pain changed his voice into somewhat of a melodic instrument when he sang parts in songs. So what you've got to understand is that the artist, his vocal cords, that's an instrument. That's an instrument of rhythm, of timing, of tone. And so when you're on. And that's the catch to it, is that only those that have that ability to understand that their voice is an instrument, not just a loudspeaker to blurt out dogmatic sayings so people believe, but an instrument that is rhythmic, that has a definition in sound and the attack. Then they've got an understanding of what they're bringing to the music. But just a whole bunch of words on any subject, they don't paint a picture. They're not all melodic. They're not all soothing. You see, that's the catch to it. Do you remember that Gangnam Style sigh? I still haven't understood a word he said in the song.
But it was platinum.
It was platinum. Why?
Me either.
See, the catch to it is that he realized what he was putting on top of the music.
We left with why, but yet it didn't hinder it. You said it became a hit.
When you listen to it, his voice is rhythmic within it. It's melodic. And you got to have the marination of the two to make a song. See, it's not all dependent on the front guy. It's dependent on the work, the whole work. Yeah, as you said, you didn't understand what Patti LaBelle was singing, But you found yourself, you was out, everybody was out there on the dance floor dancing with it. See, that's the catch. What good is music? Music is good to move the body, to soothe the mind. Come, you know, when you start taking it out and you start saying, oh, okay, hey, it's about the guy up front, the rapper. Oh, no. It is the whole composition. Okay? Hey, I'll let somebody else put their two cents in, because if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
But I would like to piggyback on that. This is Sharon. Another song that was kind of like out there, if you guys remember, I'm not the only 90s person, but Silk, if you all remember that song, Let Me Blank You Up and Down, that song became a hit. And my five-year-old at that time was singing it, and I had no idea who or where he heard it at.
And what did it, what was the name of the song?
It's by Silk, Let Me Lick You Up and Down. And
thank
it
you for clarifying.
Some little words in there that I thought were inappropriate, but that song made a hit, and people liked it.
Well, see, now I
agree about that.
So now my question here is this a head nod that is okay?
But no, but
well,
see, everybody.
I'm not saying it's okay, but sometimes people like, as he was saying, maybe the beat or the music or how smooth the person's voice is, because they did have a nice voice, but it's just what's the lyrics. But nobody paid any attention to it. They just liked it.
See, that's the funny part about it, though, is that I have to say when I was living overseas, they have, of course, their music that they play on the radio is a lot different in different languages. And there were some songs that I just loved, and I probably couldn't tell you one word of what they said. But at the same time, because of what Raw Dog said about it having a wonderful melody or the artist being very, very talented and skilled with their delivery, I loved it. And then I came back later on and took the energy to actually find out what they were saying. But if you really do hone into your instrument and you really are talented all around with not just the vocals but also with the musicianship, then people will take the time to listen to whatever you're putting out there if it's good.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. I mean, that's the difference in what we call a successful production. You know, when you said that the song by Silk, you know, it's suggestive. It's not necessarily explicit that it breaks it right down, or either I missed that in the song. I got to go back. I think I got it.
Oh, it did.
Oh,
it did.
I mean, like, seriously, yeah. I mean,
well,
it broke it right down, and just like Joe, you got to hear Joe.
It's a very painted out song.
Then, you know what?
Yes.
He's right. Somehow, I got it on the shelf here. I missed it.
Also, when you listen to Joe, and he's very popular, and his that's all I have to say on that one.
Well, do you think that it's the point that we get lost in the talent, that we just hear the voice, but we don't concentrate on the words? Well, that's just like Outkast. You remember the song Roses Smell Like, what, poo-poo? You know,
yeah.
Real late. And it was like, I loved the song, you know, and all of a sudden it came to me when I heard kids in my car going, and roses smell like poo-poo. All right, okay. We don't need to say that in front of grandma. You know, I mean, it's like, there's certain things that are suggestive, and they're actually laid out in front of you that you miss because I guess that composition has something else that carries you. You know, it's a work of art. You know, it's like Mrs. Jackson. If you listen to that song by Outkast, and you know, and they say, "Sorry, Mrs. Jackson," you know, and you go, what was he doing that he was sorry for? Did anybody ever say what happened? Miss Jackson caught him with the daughter. See, you don't put that together until later on. And by that time, everybody in the household is humming it. You know?
Now,
I mean, so
you know, you bring up a point to me though, Raw Dog, to make. I got a question. Do you think it's because we're used to or accustomed to the fame of a personality that we've come so accustomed to that we would accept whatever they put out?
Nah.
No, I say no. I agree. I say no.
Interesting.
And I think the reason why all of us say no is because we're already tearing apart a song when we first hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Songs have good songs win you over. You know, you listen to it for the first few and you go, and then you find you've listened to the whole song. You know, it's like that radio effect when you're in the car and a song comes up and you go, oh, I don't like that, and you change the channel. You know, there's songs and I'll call them masterpieces, because let's not put it in the platinum. You know, they got a platinum for it. They sold millions. Let's just say they were masterpieces that will capture you. You know, there's something about it that it captures and it sticks a little bit in your brain and you know, the glands. You know, there are certain chords. See, I keep trying to tell these hip-hop artists this all the time. There are chords in music that when you play, they release endorphins in the brain that give you that feel good, that make you pat your foot, that you don't know why, you know? Yeah, I've done it to my kids, you know. They'll come walking to the studio, and I'll put on a track. And all of a sudden, even my wife, you'll start to see this little sidestep and the head bob a little bit. And I go, well, what's going on? Why are you doing that? I don't know. I just, you know, the music. And I go, okay, gotcha. Because there is a release within the brain of a chemical composition, endorphins, that gives you that like in music. Now, remember that.
Well, I think that goes across, you know, the board pretty much in all art forms. You see what I'm saying? Even sometimes when you look at a painting and it's just that blank canvas with one dot in the middle, and you focus on that, and you really don't know why, because you think to yourself, maybe I could have done this, like, at home by myself when I was bored. But at the same time, there is something that draws you into the piece and captivates you. So I think it's the same way with music or any form of art. So it's just based on your like and what you are driven by and captivated by. But a lot of us, like, say, go ahead.
Okay, I got to ask you guys a question. What color are signs on businesses when they say open? What color is the open word?
Green, go.
They're basically red. Okay. Red is the color that they're basically red. When you see open on a business, it'll be in red. If you notice, most of the signs to all the stores as you go down the street are in red. Red has a psychological effect of warmth and something enticing within that store. I don't really think I've seen many green. So
okay,
I see
okay,
exit.
Raw Dog,
you know what
no.
color the
exit
signs
no.
are?
Uh-huh.
They're green.
Stop signs are red.
Exit signs are red.
Stop signs.
Are you making fun of me? No. How poetic.
All right. Keith, if you are still listening in, I'd like you to call back in. We had a platinum producer just call in. I was just waiting for you guys to finish up. But just to let you guys know. Okay. Anyway, you guys can finish up your thoughts. But I wanted to let you guys know, Keith Clazark, he's actually an industry guy, and I'd like for him to tune in. So when he come back, hopefully we can get him back in into a few minutes because he can tell us a little bit about, you know, as far as the industry is concerned. Anyway, what I was saying, go right out. You got the floor.
No, I don't. I'm giving it to you now.
All right.
You took it away from me. I'm
okay.
Back to you.
All right. Now my question is, as far as the profanity. Now profanity can it hits the market, but evidently people like it in some facets, some way. There's a certain crowd that embraces profanity. But the point is, could it be stretched out where we can put it in various movies, put it in different across the commercial aspects of things? It has to be bleeped out. Does it limit that song potential, even if it was a hot song? Sharon, you got the floor.
It could. It could. For example, I'm a sports person. I've never heard a profanity song played out on the NFL. So I would say it could hinder some of your markets as far as commercials.
So you're saying in the NFL, you're saying out there as in the sense of like the playoffs, the games, and, you know.
Yes, they play hip-hop music. Yes, hip-hop music is heard on there, but I've never heard any song with any profanity in it.
Okay. Okay, y'all remember the song by CeeLo?
Which one?
Well, it was F.U.
You mean Forget You.
Yes.
They changed it to Forget You. But the song that was on the internet was F You.
Oh.
In fact, y'all don't remember that?
Yeah.
But that song made a hit.
Well, okay.
And
now,
really,
wait a minute now.
What's that?
You mean the song was played on the radio, right? I mean, but I don't know that he Grammy'd with that.
I tell you what, Google it.
I don't
that's
know.
That's a hot
Did
song.
He?
That's a, that actually was a very, very hot song, I must
it was
say.
It a very hot song.
The original version.
Yeah.
But now, did he Grammy with that song?
I
because
believe
I
he
like
did.
The song. You know, I'm not knocking the song. But, you know.
I think it did, to tell you the truth.
I remember.
Yeah,
him,
I believe it did win a Grammy. I think I was at that Grammys when it won. I think
yeah,
it did.
Yeah, I believe it did.
Okay, I thought that he performed it at the Grammys. I remember seeing him there, and they bleeped the word out because he didn't say forget you. So I remember that. But that's a good one to exercise the point. Well, okay, he got away with it and got a Grammy. You see? But he had two versions of it. He had one that he could play on the radio with that word. I actually thought I remember hearing Forget You, you know, rather than the other one on the radio.
Oh, yeah, it does say F.U. I'm on now. I'm sorry, I'm online now. I never knew that it said that because I've only heard Forget You.
I actually seen the video. If you look at the video, you got kids in the video sticking their middle finger up at people.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But see, now guess what? Okay.
What?
We're saying that, okay, he got away with it. But was it because he had enough money that he could get away with it?
That's a question. That's a question that plays
because I don't think
a
new artist at this point could come out with something like that and get away with it.
I swear, that's where I was going with it. I'm glad you're going there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you like this. But when we, you know, it's that time of the show that we got to go pay the bills. So definitely y'all keep it locked, keep it loaded right here. But that's exactly where I was going with it, Raw Dog. I wanted to know if a new artist would be accepted starting off in that lane. Do they need to clean up their act enough where they can put their foot in the door and make a name for themselves so they can brand themselves, and then they can become or do whatever they want? I'm not encouraging it, but the point is I do discourage them going that direction, but that's a choice. We have freedom of speech. I don't want to take away from you and tell you you shouldn't. I'm just telling you, I think you're risking your great talent, and you're risking a lot of money going into studios without having no name for yourself and trying to market yourself in that way. That's just my opinion. So when we come back, I definitely want to talk about it. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Y'all stay with us. Could language hinder the marketing stretch of a song?
It's time to play. You're ready to go. Ready to go. Radio promo right here on Hip Hop National Radio. That's right. Hip Hop National Radio will help you get the word out about your business, your music, or music products, starting as low as $15 a spot. We aim to meet your advertising needs. We do viral marketing, website development,
website hosting,
internet audio presentation,
voiceovers,
professional beat production,
publicity,
radio and record promotion,
consulting,
corporate identities,
event planning and promoting,
printing, graphic design,
CD pressing
and duplication,
voice on home,
radio commercial production,
CD commercial production,
video production,
call conversion,
contracts and more. For more details, log on now to www.hiphopnationalradio.com or call 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip-hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from Hip Hop National partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development. Also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and hiphopnational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
All right, you got it locked and loaded to Hip Hop National Radio. Just for those who would like to send in their music, go to www.hiphopnationalradio.com. That's www.hiphopnationalradio.com. And send in your music today. You go to the tab that says Upload. If you're listening in by your phone, or listening in by any other device, call in at 213-559-2995. Again, it's 213-559-2995 if you want to speak to the host or our guest, have a question, comment, or statement. We invite you to chime in. Now, let's go back to the topic. Could language hinder the marketing stretch of a song? Just before we went to the break, I was asking the question, if for the newcomers that's coming into the business, do you guys think that they can step into this business with the foul language without being like a seasoned veteran in the game? We're going to start off with Sharon. Sharon, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts, it depends on, I would say, who you know and who. some of Drake's material, he's a fairly new artist, some of his material has profanity in it. So I don't know if it would hinder you in that respect. I would say it could vary. It could be your producer or how well somebody who's producing you is willing
well,
to push
about,
you out there.
Well, how about this? You mentioned Drake, right? Out the box.
Yes.
Is that what we got from Drake? Do you recall?
Not in the beginning. Not in the beginning. I've only heard a little of his music.
He is new, fairly new, but when he became an accepted household brand, was it a song that was more universal, or was it a song that was limited by the profanity of a neighborhood liking that everybody would probably attach to in their neighborhood? What's your thought?
I would say yes. I would say my niece actually is a very close friend of Drake, and everybody loves him, regardless of what he says. But he's made a name for himself, whether he used profanity or is bleeped out or not. So I couldn't say for sure that if you're a new artist, if that would hinder you, because it varies. That's my personal thoughts on it.
I got a question for you, Poetic. Now, Drake is Canadian, isn't he?
Pardon me?
Isn't Drake Canadian?
He's from Canada.
Yes.
And isn't it, okay, we learned on some shows back that Canadian artists actually have the backing of the government in financial grants and what have you.
I've heard that as well. Thank you.
So Drake didn't just jump out there without backing. See, there's money behind Drake. There was money behind Justin Bieber because the Canadian government has grants for artistic individuals in their endeavors. So we can't put him on as though he is a newcomer because he came with money. See, the catch to it is that you can't compare an artist that's coming out of the studio in the United States and he's starting off with those type of lyrics. Because if you don't have any backing that is going to open up avenues to promote you, see, there's the catch, to promote you,
mm-hmm.
then you have the doors aren't going to open as quickly. That's one thing that I want to kind of, you brought Drake in it, but then Drake, bring someone from the United States that just came up from nowhere. Because Drake had an advantage that, the American artists will never get because the government doesn't fund them like the Canadian government. So,
But can I ask you guys this? I'm right here in Florida, South Florida. I'm hearing that the FM radio is embracing profanity more and more, where most of the songs sound like it's bleeped out. It's bleeped out the whole song, and you almost can't even understand what it's saying because you get more accustomed to what the beat, the sound, the rhythm, the melody of the entire tune before you hear what they really have to say today. Because that's what I'm hearing on the radio here. I don't know what you guys are doing abroad, but what I'm hearing now is like every other word is being bleeped out.
And they're on Main Street. My question is,
as a lyricist, a writer, what point are you making if your whole song is being bleeped out? What kind of communication you got abroad and people not even understanding what's being said?
You know what that falls into? That falls into the money split. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I read somewhere where the music or the producer gets 50%. 50% of the royalties from the money. So if you have a producer, the one that created the music, that's on fire,
mm-hmm.
then that's where who's making the money. The bleeping out is just something put on top.
That moment where we become a society that we just accept that type of, you know, that type of language at all times, that's kind of, you know, that's stuff for inside your house. That's not necessarily something that has to be thrown upon everybody just because they like the beat in your sound, in your song, or even the melody or whatever it is. But I know for me, this has been, and I'm so glad you said this, because, Al, this has been a huge thing for me lately, especially because I am at the moment looking for soundtrack artists for my feature film project. And I have tried my best many times to overlook the profanity that was used by many independent artists, and I know that I just can't. Because a lot of the songs now, they're not doing what, say, CeeLo did, where he had the FU version and the Forget You version, where you could just kind of, you know, switch it or for the radio. But I know for me in film, it might change the whole integrity of the song if I were to delete part of it just because of the fact that they decided to use profanity instead of using other words of choice. So that's something that really for me has been extremely discouraging at times, because I always have been looking for independent artists, new artists coming out, because I wanted that to coincide with the feature film project. I think it's very important because that's, I believe in that. Even my cast, I intentionally cast a lot of actors that are extremely talented, but you might not have seen or heard of yet, but at the same time, I know their talent speaks for themselves. So it's like when I reach my hand out and ask these independent artists to send me something that has substance, it's something that I can't use if they choose to send me a song where every other word is this or that and this. You see what I'm saying? Because I cannot put that to really coincide with any scene in the movie. You understand what I mean?
Well, can I ask a question? What happened to music that didn't have the lyrics? That you know, like Junior Walker and the All-Stars, or George Duke song.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Or Michael Jackson.
Well, even Michael Jackson, you could take his voice off of it and the music
would
be
still
powerful.
Wonderful.
What happened to the public accepting quality productions that and say, hey, just hold the lyrics. We can dance
right
to this. There's the drum. There's the guitar. What happened?
I can tell you honestly, let me tell you this, and Raw Dog, you know, for the last few shows, I've been trying to find artists to submit. And this is the thing. I have found one group so far that I already know that I'm going to use. And this is a Pan-Asian jazz ensemble. There are no lyrics. They are so amazing just with the instrumental version that they don't need it. But for me, it's beautiful. And that's what I have so far. And I still have a lot of other space for more artists to submit their stuff, but at the same time, that is the artist that will probably be the one who will also go ahead and do the soundtrack. You know what I'm saying? Who will score the piece. And that's what we're missing.
You know what?
I know you guys said we're missing that, but a hip-hop artist, don't get me wrong, is not an instrumentalist. He's a lyricist.
He's a folk artist.
Yeah.
He's a Bogarter.
I
want to see the front. Exactly. Is the power.
But the thing it is, what I'm saying is lyrically he has to learn to mesh so he can become an attractive piece of work that makes them want to put it in a movie. Because don't get me wrong, To me, and I'm just one person here, but this is my opinion. I really think music is meant to be heard and not silenced. If someone's turning off your music because their grandmother steps in the room, or their father, or their mother or the pastor, then something's wrong with the music.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, something's wrong with the lyrics.
Something wrong with the lyrics.
Right, not the music. See, that's why when I said hip-hop artists are bogartists, it's because when they go out, and you got to remember, they take the music on a disc. They're the only ones on stage. So they want to, they're trying to keep the people looking at them and not saying, oh, the music is this and that. See, because the person that created the music is not up there with them. So what happens is that they feel as though they've got to be the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that they don't understand that it's okay. Sometimes less is better than a whole lot of dribble.
You know what? You know what, Raw Dog? You hit it all. You hit the nail on the head, because a lot of times they're not realizing that. Here it, and I'll say it real quick. Tidy up your lyrics, and you broaden your audience. Simple as that.
Yes, simple as that. Absolutely, I have to agree with you. And the thing about hip hop, it's not going anywhere. It has crossed all genres, all markets, all ethnicities in the world. I mean, I'm in Northern California, and sometimes I pull up, and I can hear hip-hop standing, and I look over, and it's an Indian person.
Mm-hmm.
And it has crossed so many ethnicities. And when you go in the store, honestly, I hardly ever see black people buying hip-hop music where I live. When I go in the store, it's every other ethnicity. And I'm over in the R&B and Christian section over here, and it's just full of people just buying hip-hop music. So it has really crossed so many ethnicities. It's not going anywhere. But
Right. Like
you guys say, they just have to learn how to channel their lyrics so that it can be marketable across different lines of music and for different countries.
Exactly.
And Tiffany, I do have a hip hop artist that does have both. His material, of course, he has the radio version and he has the club version. So I would love to submit it to you.
All right, we got Captain Poetry on deck with us. Captain Poetry, 623-210. Go ahead. State your name. Where you calling in from?
Yes, my name is Stephen Henry, aka Captain Poetry. From Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, you had a statement or question. I saw you pop in and pop out. So, what's up?
Well, I would just like to say I love the subject that you got going tonight, because I have that in my mind for quite some time. To when I write lyrics, you know, to each his own, but I like to write lyrics to where people can hear my message and not offend anybody by foul language, bad language. And I think if you're going to put it out there to the world, you know what I mean, it won't offend anybody, at least even for a person to, you know, they may say, I don't even like rap music, but it's something about that message and that song that I do like, and I can go for that. And you can play it anywhere, and you know, no one would be offended by it.
Can I ask you guys this? I'm gonna go to Tiffany. Start with Tiffany. Do you think that we are getting a stigma, that we've created a stigma in hip hop that we can't trust what might come out their mouth?
Honestly, I have to tell you, I think we have. And that's sad, because the thing about it is, if you go back to, say, for instance, let's go back to, like, the Sir Mix-a-Lot, okay? And, you know, I mean, with his song, even though he was suggestive, he wasn't using profanity every other word. He didn't need to do that. His beat and the fun energy that he had with the piece sold, and still from here to London to Germany to everywhere I went, I heard that song still to this day. So it's like, you know what, you don't need, for some reason I think that what it's starting to be is that people are realizing that sometimes when there's a lot of profanity, the artist might be compensating for the lack of lyrics at times. Not all the time, but sometimes. I think that's what's happening, and that's what people are thinking, whether it's true or not. I think that's what a lot of people who might not be raised and brought up here in this country are starting to think about hip-hop.
Your thoughts, Sharon?
I would have to agree with Tiffany, and I would say yes. In such a respect we are, but what we have become is accepting, partly because of a way a hip-hop artist may look or carry himself, we are people of vision. So we're looking at this person, and we're not really focusing so much on what they're saying. So I would have to say yes, we just have become accustomed to it. And it's like, it's okay because he looks good and he's got a great beat. And we overlook the lyrics, which is not a good thing, and it's not going to make that person marketable across all genres, but I would have to say yes.
I got to ask everybody a question. I want everybody to think. See, because what I'm hearing is that hip-hop artists, it's not the artist. It's the producer, like Timberland. Timberland, when he did Justin Timberlake. Or let's go back and let's talk about a Curtis Mayfield, who was a musical rapper. He had a message. He had a thought, and it was words, but he did it as though he was singing. But that was actually his speaking voice also. Okay, so when we start to think and we say hip-hop artists, we're not talking about anything new. That's just crabs in the barrel, hip-hop artists. When we start talking about individuals that have made it, we don't look at them as hip-hop artists. We look at them as Snoop Dogg. We don't say hip-hop artists. We say Snoop Dogg. We say Drake. Then we go hip-hop. But see, an individual characteristic that makes them stand above the rest, you know. And so what you have to understand is that, you know, people like Chuck Berry, people like Guitar Watson, you know, when you start talking about this industry of music, it's got to have a twist to it, a difference to it, so you can stand out. But if you want to talk about crabs in the barrel, okay, hip-hop artists. That means absolutely nothing. I mean, I'm being honest with you. You know, that's, okay, hip-hop artists.
Anybody, please, anybody got something to say based on what you just heard from Rawdoc,
I honestly have to tell you, I have been trying this whole show to find an argument with you, and I've been unable to. So I'm just going to sit here and still think about one that I can come up with in the next few minutes.
Well, hey, guess what? And I appreciate it. When you find that I'm wrong, you jump on that, ring the bell.
You know,
trust me, I will.
In a sense, I think you made a good point. You're talking about a whole pool of people who have a whole pool of people that's having a struggle trying to get into this industry, and they're calling themselves hip-hop artists.
You're calling them hip-hop artists.
Wait, hold on. I'm saying he's an artist. Point with you. You're shutting me out. I'll just let you talk.
When you're right, you're right. When you're wrong, you're wrong. You're calling them hip-hop artists.
I said, you're calling them hip-hop artists.
You said hip-hop artists.
Please allow me to talk.
Well.
What I'm saying is. We're talking about a whole bunch of people who see the top 10% that's making it in the industry, and they start to follow.
Right.
Say it again?
Right.
Of music. The industry of music.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, I'm... Keep going. because my personal opinion,
this is Sharon. Yes, they are called hip-hop artists because that's what the industry calls them. And when they do make it, most of them, if they do, then you start calling them by their name. P. Diddy was not always called P. Diddy. He was a rap person or a hip-hop person before he P. Diddy or whatever his new name is now. I don't know.
You know what I mean? But I'm trying to get the...
But wait a minute. I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I'm trying to open...
If you had listened to me, I really was in agreement with what you were saying, but you wasn't listening.
But Raw Dog, you're not listening.
I think
you should allow me to finish what I was saying.
Agreed.
What I was saying, Raw Dog, is what you're saying is there's a whole collection of people that's in the running trying to get there. They're trying to get their foot in the door, but they're going about it the wrong way because they see some of the successful people have already also put out foul language, and yet they're still there on top. But they haven't paved the road. They haven't. Don't get me wrong. They haven't paid their dues to get their foot in the door. The ones that's at the top, if they put out a song that got some profanity, they doing that for the hood. They doing it for the hood because they're trying to support you too. But they got commercial value on a large scale, so they can continue making money, and it won't affect them one way or the other because they got a brand, they got a name for themselves. They're making it in this industry.
I agree with that 100%.
And what Rondo was saying is crabs in the bucket. I agree with what he's saying. I'm not, and that's not to insult anyone. There's a whole bunch of people trying to get into this industry, but they're going about it in the wrong approach because they haven't even created market value.
Okay, so what you're saying is they're like Elvis impersonators.
There are a whole bunch of people that are echoing what they see instead of being creative, stepping outside of the box and making an impact as an individual. That's what I thought you were saying, but you didn't give me a chance to express myself.
And what I was trying to say was that as crabs in the barrel, when you say hip-hop, it's like an Elvis impersonator. You know, they're trying to copy someone else that's come before them, and they're not the individual artists. They're just doing the same thing that they thought they could get away with that somebody else had already opened the door, closed the door.
Can I say one thing? Is that I really think that instead of necessarily hip-hop artists being, you know, to really model themselves behind the artists that are coming out today, if they took a little bit more time to look at the Salt and Peppers, to look at the Mix-a-Lot, to look at all the people who were doing it before without using all that profanity and making a hell of a name for themselves, if they did that, then we'd be able to start over and also bring the hip-hop terminology back to positivity instead of where it's going now.
I agree.
I agree with you. That is so correct. Where do we start to get them to see that?
Right.
Well, I think we started by, you know, going through this and breaking down the point of, gee, this one got away, that one, but then it doesn't work. I think the shock value is why some artists did it in the beginning, and now the shock is over, you know, and it's no longer a shock. It's just an overload of the same thing, you know, and we don't want to hear it. It shocked us in the beginning, and okay, we let it go by, and it was unusual, but now it's become the norm, and we're no longer shocked. We're actually have an attitude behind let's hear some more creativity in something different, you know, and let someone else use their mind and present to us something new. You know, profanity is nothing new. You know, now in a song, I remember there was a song someone did that said, I got high. I didn't make it to my court date because I got high. I remember hearing that song. And it was funny the first couple of times that I listened to it.
I mean, it's funny when you say it, actually.
Yeah. And then you know what? The next thing was is that I started driving down the street, and I saw all these people caught on corners. And the song started reflecting on the point of incomplete people. They got high, so they didn't bother to go and to school to get the education. They got high, so they didn't bother to go look for a job. They got high, so they forgot about their kids. You know, see, so the song started having this meaning, and I didn't want to hear it anymore because it was actually a laughable. You know, okay, yeah, you did that. But then it became the scar of the people because as you saw them as you rode by, you'd go, that was his problem. That was her problem. That was, oh, wow, it's no longer funny. I don't want to hear that. You know, but it was a shock. It was a reality. It was a truthful song. But you no longer hear it anymore. It came, it went. No shelf life. You talk about Sir Mix-a-Lot, shelf life, what, that song's what, 10, 12, 15 years old now, even
exactly.
More, maybe 20? The
exactly.
Shelf life, you know, because he was an original entertainer. He brought something different. There is no other Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry is always going to be Chuck Berry. Elvis is always going to be Elvis. You know, Nelly's always going to be Nelly. Ja Rule. Snoop Dogg, see, you make a mark by your individuality and the talent that you have the courage to cultivate within yourself. Don't be like anybody else. You know,
that's
the
true.
Word. Go ahead.
That's true, but what's happening now is that a lot of artists, not all, a lot of artists are trying to reinvent the wheel, if you will. You can't really reinvent the will that was already successful. But what you can do is model yourself and really listen to and learn from those artists before you, not necessarily reinvent the will in the sense of this person cursed every other word, so now I'm going to try and curse every word and see if it works. Do you understand what I mean? That's what's happening now. So instead of them trying to model themselves after these ones that are doing it that way, who already have millions and millions and millions, they should actually take a little bit more time to, again, go back to the original artists. Go back to the ones that were successful without all that negativity, without all the profanity, without all the lewd gestures and everything else in video.
Well, when we get back, I want to take that, what you just said, a step further. We're getting ready to go to a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Y'all listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Could language hinder the marketing stretch of a song? You just heard Tiffany saying that go back and look at history and look at some of the people who were successful writing without the profanity. When we come back, I want to take that a step further. I'm going to ask you a question, and here's the question, by the way. Should they research these people, research some of the songs that they did as far as go back and look at the lyrical base and not only just the tune of the song, but the lyrical concepts that they were putting out that people gravitated towards? And when we get back, we'll be talking about that, so y'all stay with us. And I'm having board issues. Raw Dog, are you there? If you're there, I need your help. I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I think I'm having board issues.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Am I with the radio?
Okay. All right. We're going to ignore the break now.
Okay.
All right. So back to the topic. And
yes, they should.
But I will say this before we go back into the topic. If you're listening in by any device, call in at 213-559-2995. That's 213-559-2995, and you can engage into the topic, to tonight's topic. Also, Hip Hop National is a marketing firm to help you present a professional portfolio to the inside circle of the music business. Tonight, I have some movers and shakers on the phone with me. These are the people that are in your neighborhood, and these are the type of people you want to connect with. Call us at 954-461-3398. Again, 954-461-3398, so we can make some things happen, make that connection, probably get you in a film, probably hook you up with some people who's doing some major stuff in this game. So back to the topic. The question is, where I was going with it as far as, do you think that they need to do research who these people were? That their lyrical content, because don't get me wrong, there was a day when music and hip-hop was so sweet, everybody just, you hearing everybody in school mouthing the lyrics. I'm sure these kids are doing it today, but by the time they get home, don't get me wrong, the family members are saying, what? With shock value. What's your thoughts, Tiffany?
I think that you really can't go wrong doing research on any field that you're actually passionate about and want to be successful at. And especially nowadays, can you imagine how beautiful it would be for a new upcoming artist to go back to that time when they were able to put out music with a fabulous band, fabulous musicians, and positive lyrics, or even if they're not positive, lyrics that are not so overly consumed with profanity and with negativity and with all the things that really, at this point in life, with so much going on in the world, so much negativity going on in the world, we don't necessarily always need to showcase it in music as well. So that's all I have to say.
All right, Raw Dog, I'm having a problem with my board. Could you open up Sharon's line so she can be included into the topic as well? Raw Dog, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think she's correct on that. You know,
did you open her line for me?
Yeah, can you hear you?
Sharon?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He's rude like that. He gets testy.
No, No. I couldn't tell if you opened the line or not. But go ahead. What's your thoughts?
Are you talking to me, Patrick?
You take it on, Sharon.
And then we're going to come to you.
Okay. Me. Okay. Well, you know, I agree with what Tiffany had to say. And, you know, the funny part about it is that I believe, possibly different than everybody else believes, I think that, you know, it's basically the right artist that's going to be successful. I mean, I understand that there are a lot that are trying, and, you know, I don't tell them to quit, but I'm saying to them, learn the music history. Understand that it's individual artists that have been discovered in all genres. You know, I mean, you know, when Psy can come in from Vietnam and do platinum and hear all the American hip-hop artists babbling all the crazy stuff that they babble, and he walks away with platinum and a Grammy and what have you, that should tell you that the formula of the lyrics is wrong, because I still haven't understood one word he said. Get with and align yourself with a producer. And, you know, work with them. And, you know, hopefully that producer will be able to cultivate what talents you have in the right direction. I think that, you know, that it's a lot of the songs that we hear with the lyrics that are wrong, they're not collaborating together. The artist is hitchhiking on the back of a good beat or a good production. you know, and well, he's not able to share that space. So it turns into the language that we hear on a lot of submissions that come in, you know. And there are a lot of good submissions musically, but the lyrics are just not tolerable. We can't play them over the radio. And that's the shame of it, because it stops the beat maker from ever being heard, because someone has taken and put lyrics on a great melody. You know, I think they should work closer together instead of leasing the beats. Don't be afraid to go in and sign an agreement that you're going to split the revenues and talk to that beat maker. I know you buy them from a lot of different sites and what have you, and you just pay that fee and you get the musical files. But it takes more than that to create a good production, and it takes time, you know, and, to have pride in your production, not just ego. You know, have pride that when you present it to the public, that's the old, the young, you know, the in-between, that they can all stand together, listen to your song, and tap their foot, bob their head, or smile, because it paints a picture that just they enjoy. You know, I think it takes courage. And the lyrics that they're doing now with the language and what have you, that takes no courage. I think what they have to understand is to be an artist is like a painter with a brush. You're painting pictures with your voice. You don't have to say everything. You can say just enough, and enough is enough, you know. And understand it, embrace it, go for it, be that individual, stand up. And I think it'll take you further than doing what you think the rest want to hear. All right. I'll give it to Sharon. Sharon, you there?
Yes, I'm here. That was very well stated. And I do have to agree also with Tiffany to research some of the past hip-hop or rappers or whatever they want to call them back in the day. For example, I fell in love with Rapper's Delight. It wasn't cursing in that song, but everybody knew every word to the song. It played on every club, and I think that is a good song. Also, I would like to say that if you have the marketing funds, even if your lyrics are bad, it will take you and stretch you a little bit further than someone coming up new in the industry that does not have the financial backing. Because you can market someone, for example, Sai, who also had MC Hammer's help, and you can make it.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to be really good or say the right things that the world wants. And me personally, I'm an Isley Brothers girl, so I grew up in that era. But what I'm learning and hearing, there are hip-hop artists or whatever you want to call them, they are sampling some of the beats and music from some of the R&B, jazz, even country artists. And that's how they're getting their music across, even though it is called hip-hop.
Right.
Yep.
Hip-hop artists. I come from the music side of it. I, you know, can't sing. I could probably rap, but you wouldn't want to hear what I had to say. You know, so it turns into the type of thing that we get into this class because I find that the composition itself, you know, and most successful rappers, they're represented with their producer. You know, with Snoop Dogg, it was Dr. Dre. With, you know, B.I.G., it was P. Diddy, you know. The producer can make a song better for the artist if the artist is willing to share. You know, don't just buy a lease and run away with it. That's if you liked what you heard, and you put your money together behind it. Talk to the producer, you know, and
yes.
find out if it can't be customized to qualify with the lyrics that you are trying to put on there. Work with them. Share the money. Don't take it as a one-side greed thing, because most of the beat makers have ends to the industry that they're not sharing with you when they sell a lease, you know, because they know that you're just going to take it, do what you want to do with it. You're not going to listen to them. But if you liked what you're buying from them, why couldn't you pay them for their advice and their cooperation? And they may be able to lead that to a doorway that leads to some success in what you're trying to do. You know, they call that collaboration. But they also,
well,
in that collaboration, they call that a contractual agreement. You know?
What,
and
you know,
if you go ahead. Who's speaking?
Raw Dog. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's Tip. All right. What you just said is so true. The only thing about it is this, is that somewhere along the line, things got a little bit confused when someone said, if you're working at what you love, it's not work at all. Well, I have to say, if you're blessed enough to work at what you love, you need to do the work to make it done to the best of your potential and to the best of your ability. That means to make sure that you have everything in place. And if you do need to hire other people to help you out, you do need to hire producers.
Yes.
You do need to hire, you know, other musicians to play behind you. You do need to actually stop making it an easy game where you just do nothing but push a button and then there's all the beats. And then if you use 50 billion, you know, words of profanity or whatever you can do, and then sell it to the radio. No. That's not what they mean by if you are working at what you love, then you're not working at all. No, you have worked your butt off to be able to work at what you love. That's what I
yes.
think a lot of new artists need to realize.
But do you realize, Tiffany, the only reason they do a lot of words over the top is because it's ego? They didn't have anything to do with the music production side of it. So the credit and the spotlight, they're trying to get it to shine on them. Because can you imagine a hip-hop artist up there with a fire on the beat and all this instrumentation, and he says, hey, I love you, and that's it. I mean, you know, what's he going to do for the next 2.5 minutes? See, that's where the issue is. You know, he
okay.
wants the spotlight, and he can't
keep the spotlight.
He doesn't
have a full chorus, huh?
Pardon?
He doesn't have a full chorus, huh?
Well, yeah, because guess what? It's not necessarily the rapper. It's the production that he's part of, and
but,
he doesn't realize
wow.
he can get paid
can
for
I say
just
this?
Very little.
I want to say this though, music. Don't get me wrong. The spotlight has always been on the music artist.
Wait.
The spotlight has always been on either the lead singer. And even though he didn't write the song, the spotlight has been on the artist.
But can I say this? Didn't I tell you guys when he wasn't saying nothing
even
that
though,
he, that
even
he
though,
was
even
the guy?
Though a producer
the
make it.
No,
what?
I'm going to give you an example. I'll give you some examples. Here it goes. Are you ready?
Go.
You ain't ready. George Clinton, Parliament. Who was the front of that? Was it Bootsy Collins?
I like him.
They put on a show.
They put on a show.
George
that
Clinton.
Was a collective effort as a team.
Okay, but wait a minute. Now, you just said you didn't know.
That was the entire band. That's all I'm trying to tell you. That was
no,
the entire band.
No, it was the
band.
Entire show.
But go ahead.
See, that's the catch to it. The show. See, Timberlake did a show with Timberland.
Okay.
And Timberland's group went off. They went to the left. And all Timberlake had to do was go, a wee-oop, once in a while. And the band rocked it.
Yeah, but so, what was the spotlight on? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Spotlight was on
all of them. They was having a party.
No, no, I'm not talking about, listen, I ain't talking about the entire performance. I'm talking about who do you know out of the band? Who do
okay,
you know?
Okay, wait a minute now. Listen to me. I knew Timberland.
That's
I don't know
the
other
individuals.
That's my point.
You just made my point.
But guess what? How was the pay split?
No, it's not that.
No,
that's a different story. Now you're talking about
financial fame and not money.
But that's what I was talking about. I was talking about the spotlight has always been on the artist. But I'm not talking now. If you want to talk about the breakdown of the money, then that's a different story.
Yes,
okay,
like Lady Gaga and Rihanna, they don't be looking at the band. They are looking at Rihanna or Lady Gaga.
They're looking at what Rihanna's doing on the stage.
Exactly.
Patti LaBelle is not the body. She's not the only one singing on stage, but everybody see her as the singer.
Exactly.
Well, and I agree what you're saying.
Because the spotlight has always been on the artist.
And I agree to what you're saying.
How about Prince?
But then I look at the money. And I know how individuals are paid. And
yeah,
so
the band knows that, hey, we getting paid for this, so they having fun. They don't care if that spotlight on them or not. They doing what they love to do.
That's the catch to it that we have never.
And then you got one person
in
the band
that
got an ego that needs the spotlight on them.
But see, that's the catch.
That's the way it is.
Well, that's not true.
Let me include somebody calling in. 757-471. Please state your name, where you're calling in from, and what's your thoughts on tonight's topic.
My name is Megis Gobillion. You're inside of my group, Bucephalus Media.
Okay.
How I feel about it is just like what you said, Prince. When Prince came in the game in 1978, he had his vision of what he wanted. So he was the producer of what he's trying to create. You know what I'm saying? So he knew where he was going. I believe that Prince knew he was going to be spiritual at the end, but he knew he had, at the beginning, had to be kind of conflictive. But, you know, it depends on the case. Like with Puffy and Biggie, Puffy, he was in the industry a while before Biggie came on the situation. You know what I'm saying? He worked with Mary J. Blige. Who's that? Jodeci. Dr. Dre, he was, before he did anything with NWA, he worked with a variety of different artists. So it depends on the individual that you're dealing with, because a lot of these producers, they don't know anything more than an artist. They're new. You know what I'm saying? They just got a beat machine.
Some of them don't.
I heard Rob say
earlier in the comments that you need to go into who they might know, but that's with anybody. We all know somebody who knows somebody. We are 6 degrees of separation from getting to where we need to go. There's somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who can help you get there.
But there is what it is you got to understand who you are with everybody that you're dealing with. If you got a vision, don't compromise your vision with other people if you don't want to go that way. If you're a visionaire, if you're a singer and you don't know how to write songs, that's when you give up that power and you let somebody else write a song. But if you know how to play, if you're Jimi Hendrix, if you're a superstar, if you got everything that it takes to make that thing happen, you follow your heart. You know? So you can't just come with one solution to a problem. See, that's what I faced when I was, like, doing a lot of stuff artistically. I dealt with a lot of people that seen me, and they were like, you know, I see this vision for you. I see you. They seen something inside of you. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to, like, make you into a rag doll. Hey, can I do this for you? Can I do that for you? They love you to death. They love the child inside of you. They want to use you. But then when they find out they can't use you, that's when they say to other people, don't mess with them. And that's what messes up the game. That's what is a lot of people that's upset. See, if you like me so much where you can, where it affects your emotion, then you come to me and you bow down. Just like if I like you so much and I want to deal with you regardless how much money you got, I bow down to what this person is saying. Because he already, it's like somebody walking down the street. He knows where he's going. You like him. You follow him where he's going. You feel he's the person that's going to make things happen, you follow him. And that's what's wrong with the game. People, they're not humble to who's the one that got the vision. Because the vision is more important than anything else. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is. Like when you say, everybody come together. No, it never works out that way. I've seen it. I've been in this game since, like, breakdancing from the very beginning. Because in hip-hop, there's no adults. There's no adults. There's, like, people like you. There's no adults. There's a whole bunch of little kids. There's a whole bunch of people that don't know what they're doing.
Why y'all laughing at that? Why y'all think that's funny? That man ain't cracking no
because
jokes.
Because we hide. The adults hide.
Huh?
We actually hide because we already, what he's saying is very true. They don't
listen. There's no adults. There's no adults. This is like, it's a bunch of little kids that don't know what they're doing. There's no adults. Like, Tupac would be alive right now if there was adults to help him do what he was trying to do.
I think
like,
so.
when Tupac died, Suge Knight was 34 years old. He still was a little kid. All those producers, they stepped away from him. They're not there helping out the situation. That's why Tupac had to go about it the way how he
I don't know, guys. I believe we are having technical issues. I actually hung up, and I'm opening the mic up again. I'm wondering if everybody hear me. Radar, are you there? Sharon? Tiffany? Mega Go Billion, are you there? All right, guys. It seems like we are having some technical issues. Raw Dog, if you are hearing me, see if you guys can go ahead and put that music on, get the music together for us. Anyway, guys, sometimes we have technical issues, and there's nothing we can do about it. And in this case here, it seems like we are experiencing some technical issues. So definitely tune in, and lock yourself loaded to this program. We are making an impact in this industry, and we're helping to change the game. We are not on a personal attack to anyone. We actually are here to help you go further in your thoughts, stretch your mind to another level, to understand that there's a way to get into this business, and I think you should step into this business where someone will embrace you, take you into their arms, and not push you away. So you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Good night, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. I'm going to close out. Like we're having technical issues. Sharon, hold on. So I'm closing out. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop.
What's up, guys, and welcome to Hip Hop National Radio's In the Mix with
Dr. A.T. I'm your host, Dr. A.T.
Quiet down, guys. I'm live on the air. There's a party going on here at Hip Hop National Radio with our CEO, Poetic, right here in the studio.
Hip Hop National.
Poetic, can you get off that pole? The show's about to start.
This is Dr. A.T. To all you artists out there, if you guys want to get your song heard right here on Hip Hop National Radio, all you gotta do is send your MP3 file to www.hiphopnationalradio.com and get your chance to get your song heard. Also, follow us on Twitter at Hip Hop National Radio. Also, call into our hotline 213-559-2995.
Next on deck is LD History.
Kill your perception and share my history.
Kill it.
Tell them about it. Tell you a few things you may not know about me. Like I was born on the west coast, exactly where the sun set. Rose out the womb full of life and I defeated their parents. Got a divorce, now we moving to the jack. Bob Phoenix, Arizona, guess there's no coming back. Raised in Mississippi, is this what life's about? Who's on motion round here? I think it's best I leave out. But I stayed on my ground. I'm on the sunny South Dallas where the sun never shines. Didn't stay long, once again I'm on my way. Got Georgia on my mind, so I'm headed to the A.Z. With my big sister and she living in Decatur. Soon as I touch down, like baby girl, see you later. Have to keep it moving, don't trip, that's my nature. Now people throwing jabs, trying to say I'm unstable. No more running from my problems, this time I'm fine. First class to be exact, to the South Side shot. When I first arrived, they observed my whole style. Beat my moral. My southern house is cow, with me.
Nice.
Plus they can hear it in my speech. Heard a brother film records out of city claim me. That's West Coast, down south, Midwest, D's. I'm the one, my number's four, and got connects in all three.
Right.
People often ask which region I like best. Tell them at least you know why I fly southwest. With each place, that's the room the man that you see. Brother here on the track, low, so poetically.
So
I could say I'm more, but I'll leave it as a D. If you give too much, then the people might flee. Just thought that I would share a little. Happy to get to know a little more about me.
Yeah.
Happy to get to know a little more about me. Yeah. Let me heal your perception and share my history. Tell you a few things you may not know about me. Like. Let me heal your perception and share my history. Tell you a few things you may not know about me. Like.
Dr. A.T., ER Crew.
Let's go, go, go. Two steps for me, and I'ma flow for you. So that's what we gon' do. Let's go, now they flow. It's two steps double. We can take it slow, so incredible. Now they flow. You know I'm ready to go with two steps double. But I'ma take it slow. Me on cruise control. You know it's on my mind. Yeah, that's my date. She got a mean dribble game. Still rock big shoes and procrastinate. I love when she wraps around and make the fattest shake. She love when I two step while I'm sipping my drink. You know I gotta have a dark hug, cup is pink. Cuban link. She got a bad juice. Only got one shot, so I'm ready to swing. See on the dance floor and I'm doing my thing. I'm in my own damn world, homie, stay in your lane. So that dollar bill ain't the only thing that rings. Now you, two steps for me. And I'ma flow for you. So that's what we gon' do, so let's do. Got it close.
We can take it slow, so incredible. You know I'm ready to go.
Got it close.
Two step double. I'm so out of control, like Damon Letterman. Yeah, it's my show.
Got it close.
Got a bad dude. Baby girl, say hi. I wanna see you getting loose, coming out your clothes. I wanna see
do what it do, so I'ma do what I does. Now they about to take the party over another side of the club. This one's from love, some say I'm a stud. I'm no amateur, I'm all extra. Come on, come on, sexy, you know I gotta get ya. It's two-step double, now you. Two-step for me, and I'ma flow for you. So that's what we gon' do. So let's do. We can take it slow, so incredible. You know I'm ready to go with two-step double. Two-step double, when they play this in the club, you gotta go, go, go.
Next on deck, same OG, I wanna know.
Tell me what you dream of, girl. Yo, just tell me what it is that you dream, girl.
Tell me
what
you dream of,
girl. Roscoe Fettuccine.
Same OG.
Yo, G, I got you, homie.
I see you, Roscoe.
Fetty Gang official.
Fetty Gang.
We working.
G Music Entertainment.
Yo, let's go.
Next on deck, G Squad marching.
Never be marching. We down south. Song will be singing in the east. Song will be gathering. We in the west. Song will be shouting. Way in the north.
so much violence dying, here a lot of people dying. Why can't we come together in the 229?
There's
so much violence dying, here a lot of people dying. See, this a cold world that we living in, and this a cold world that we trying to take. We gotta make it home, we gotta change our life. We gotta do it for the good and the bad, home. It's people out in prison, every day they fighting charges. It's soldiers in the army, every day they fighting war.
No.
My people's in the hospital, every day they fighting pain. My people's in the nursing home, don't even know their name. We raping, we robbing, we stealing and killing. Drugs on every corner, tell me who can I turn to? I'm speaking to the 229. Let's stop the violence. Them 4-5s and them 8-Ks. Let's put them guns away.
They
put them up.
They will be marching without doubt.
So they will be.
Next on deck is Animal Flavor. We are human beings.
We all human beings howling.
Yeah.
like a wolf in the still of the night. A beast, yeah, playing us out, matching the pieces, transforming my reality,
yeah,
enabling the growth of the supreme being. 1, 2,
yeah,
10,
yeah,
make sure the thief of time,
yeah,
doesn't snatch your mind, spiraling out of control, your soul,
yeah,
our Lord shall console,
yeah,
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 straight and narrow, not just the bow, I am the arrow, with
yeah,
these blessings, I do travel,
yeah,
steady through the universe,
yeah,
frequently do I converse, with the master degree in infinity,
yeah,
setting for nothing more or nothing less,
yeah,
because together we will achieve equality, yes Lord,
yeah,
we are all human beings, yeah,
yeah,
we are human beings, come on,
yeah,
cause together we will achieve,
yeah,
I stand firm in this belief, equality, yes Lord, we all,
yeah,
we all human beings,
yeah,
4 and 6 get 10,
yeah,
I check once, then twice, then turn,
yeah,
our fire, I be pouring out love on each of your foreheads,
yeah,
blessed to be,
yeah,
yeah, equality,
yeah,
yes Lord, we all human beings,
yeah,
yeah, equality,
yeah,
yes Lord, we all human beings.
This is Captain Poetry coming out of the greatest city of Phoenix, Arizona. Be sure to request my new hot single, Stained Glass Blue, right here on HipHopNationalRadio.com. For your personal listening pleasure, you can get it at CDBaby.com. Search for Stained Glass Blue, Stephen Henry.
Next on deck is Captain Poetry, Stained Glass Blue.
When I look at you, I look at you through stained glass blue.
Stained glass blue. Stained glass blue. Stained glass blue. Stained glass blue.
My mind often fades to enchanting memories of you. Walking through the shadows and dim, you're like the sun shining forth from a biting storm. And when I hear the sweet words that you speak, it always keeps my soul at peace. And when I wonder what to do, I look at you through stained glass blue. You're driven into my ever-loving arms, capturing my soul so tender. My passion begins to rise, beckoning a sweet surrender. My love for you is timeless. It's a ever-beating heart, an indestructible soul. The many grains of sand could not outnumber such endless love. If our love were cast into the sea to be forgotten, it would somehow submerge. Riding on the wings of a dove, blessed by a soft little kiss, could not dismiss such endless love. When I look at you, I look at you through stained glass blue.
Stained glass blue.
Breaks for you like a continuous flood, forever pumping for my love, the never ceasing, wanting to be with you in the celestial blue, to forever walk in the light of God's never dawning sun, in the river of light we've ever plunged. When I look at you through stained glass blue, blue, blue.
Next on deck is KY, Days Like This.
They tell me my condition is incurable. They tell me that I need to take these drugs to numb the pain. It's days like this, I just wish that I could rewrite my history. But I must live with my mistakes.
Yeah. Got some homies down in Waco, they keep it on deck like Jose Canseco. They'll send it my way, yo, but they want payback in pesos. Cracking yayo, stash spots off of Paseo. Deal of a lifetime, it's so hard for me to say no. Cause thus far I stay broke, looking for a better way. So one day I'll rock a halo. Is God giving me an opportunity, or is Satan trying to ruin me? Persistently pursuing me, the devil's so alluring. Always trying to influence me, but I'm strong so I won't do it. See, I'm great at enduring, he's always trying to lure me in. I'll chill up in heaven when I finally reach my end. Look and see familiar faces, surrounded by my friends. Thankful that I counted blessings and repented for my sins. If I ever had the chance, I would do it all again. I got more energy within than what makes the world spin. God help with my addictions, now I owe it all to him.
They tell me my condition is incurable. They tell me that I need to take these drugs to numb the pain. Days like this, I just wish that I could rewrite my history. But I must live with my mistakes.
Nobody wanted to follow me all the way to the end of the road. I had to keep my real homies and let the phony homies go. We were in the same vehicle, but destined for different roads. Excuse all my apologies, but it's time for me to blow. It's time to rip this shit. It's so ridiculous, the way he spits is just so vicious. That's why he's so significant. The evidence is evident. This homie must be heaven sent. Potential to be president, so full of intelligence. Elegantly elegant, gangster with some etiquette. The government's adequate, we know about Connecticut. Yeah, said it's deceitful with the bread you get. I finally had to speak out. My peers were just too hesitant to shed some light on the government's negligence. Saw the towers falling, I've been convinced ever since the Pentagon got hit. It's like nobody even flinched. They try to control the sheep, but I'm tearing down the fence.
They tell me my condition is incurable. They tell me that I need to take these drugs to numb the pain. It's days like this, I just wish that I could rewrite my history. But I must live with my mistakes.
Next on deck, she's hot.
Oh, it's hot.
On the go again, baby so free. Look at how she get it low again. Down on one knee, bring it up, drop the flow again. Baby see me, turn it round, hit the flow and then go on, do your thing. All I wanna see is energy, baby what it be. I got one night in the city, be my fantasy. Julio then got up and feel like I done anything. How you got it on the squirrel, girl, got me going. Welcome to my world, girl, if you wanna go and swing. You can swing it over here now, bring it close to me. On the quad in, see it's gonna be a party. Celebrated while I play it gone, sunny peace thing.
Hot, hot, step, 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 hot, hot.
a club joiner, this a club banger. I'm a club near, yeah, club ranger. I'm flat tail, but the plane ain't need a hanger. New fit like the clothes ain't need a hanger. Rare chick like the species that's in danger. She hard to find like a new DM club banger. And if you hate this, here's a middle finger. Blowing triple limb, let the smell linger. Oh, you nasty, huh? Oh, you dancing, huh? Oh, I'm Jamie, huh? And you fancy, huh? And we the type to get it a little switch with JP on the hook. That's some good shit.
Hey guys, you know this is the part of the show we gotta be going off. Before I go, I just wanna let you guys know out here for all the artists that did not hear the submissions tonight, I want you to do is this. If you got your mixes ready, all you gotta do is go to www.hiphopnationalradio.com and send your mix into us. But remember, the language and the content need to be right. I'll see you guys next time. God bless. This is Dr. Ray T in the mix for Hip Hop National Radio.
Now you know who I am, now you know who I be. Now you know I got a list of styles and let's roll.
Everybody, let's get on the bus.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.